in chapter number 4. And the title of the message is Take My Life. Take My Life. And I hope I can preach it without too many tears. Because it is as to how we feel in this world. That because of all of the trouble, because of all of the difficulty, and because of the sin that's in this world, that we ask God, at least in our heart and in our murmuring, to take our life. I know that the prophets all around here are only promising us good, and that if we trust in Christ, it'll be no more trouble or pain. But that's a lie, is it not? I was at the church here earlier up the street, as to where I heard them preaching all day, as they normally do on many days. And as I came outside to come up here and to go preach, I asked a man if they got all of his money. And it was even hard to ask him this personal question, if the church house, if the pastor with all the screaming, all the dancing, all the preaching, had taken and collected all of his money. It is so much so that you are scared to bring your money into church unless the pastor actually talks you out of it. It's almost like a pimp who will talk a girl out of her clothing. A pastor in Nigeria will talk his or her congregants, his people, out of their money and will take all of your naira and will do it all in the promise that it'll be better for you, it'll be well for you, that you'll have no more trouble. But I ask you one question, I ask you ladies, has the pain of childbirth been removed? If the pain of childbirth has not been removed, then the curse has not been taken away from the earth, even for the child of God. I ask you men and you women here, I ask you, sir, has the curse of death been taken out of this world? I know it's a sense that the believer, he shall never die. But I know it's another sense, it's another truth, that we all suffer pain and return back unto the dust. That's what me and you were taken out of, and that's what me and you are going back to. Because the curse has never been taken, even for the child of God in this world. I ask you men and you women here who work all day, every day. I have never seen people who work harder than the people here in Nigeria. Is it not by the sweat of your brow that you bring forth fruit that's amidst all of the thorns and tares in this present world? Is it not hard to be alive? So don't tell me or you that trusting Jesus Christ means that everything is hunky-dory in this world and I'm on easy street, as the false prophets tell you. I've got to die. I've got to meet God in judgment. And even to bear fruit in this world and to be a Christian is hard. I was talking to a lady just before I came here, and she said it's hard to be radical for Christ. It's hard to lay your life down. And I did not argue with her. I said it is impossible And if your heart is too wicked to lay it down, tell God, I've got a wicked heart, and tell God, help me to submit myself to want to trust in Jesus Christ. Help me. This prophet Jonah is one of the greatest prophets in the history of the world. He actually preached, and a whole city came unto Jesus Christ and to repentance. But here's what he said in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. But Jonah, even after God had shown mercy on this great city, Nineveh, our brother Jonah was still not happy. This is how me and you are in this world, still not happy, even though we're children of God. Because we got to get our happiness from Christ each and every day. And it's never going to be my will being done. It will always be the good, the gracious, the absolutely perfect will of God that shall be done. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. It was to do the will of God, his Father. It was not to be happy. It was not to have money or to be rich in this world. It was not to have an easy life. Our Lord Jesus came into this world not just to die, but to do the will of his Father who sent him to die. And when the Lord Jesus comes back the second time, he will still be doing the will of his Father as he destroys this world with flaming fire. So it wasn't the salvation of sinners that was most important in his mind. It was doing the will of his Father that was in heaven, which included our salvation if we are in Christ. But there's never going to be any happiness in this world in our life until we can say in reality from our heart, not my will, but your will be done. Whether that means I'm cursed on earth with sorrow, whether that means I'm cursed with pain, whether that means I die young with sickness, whether it means I have no money or wife or children, whatever it means for God's will to be done in this world, that, my friends, is the only way that we're going to be happy, as we get submitted and we get included to his purpose of grace unto bring salvation unto sinners and to glorify his great name, because truly the will of God is greater than our will, and it shall be done. And if we submit ourselves to it, there is sweet peace in this world. But as long as we are in rebellion, as long as things aren't going our way and we think that they should, we're going to wish to even die. You think people in America are so happy? I don't think that they're much happier than the people here, really and truly. Much more stuff. But they want to die. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. This is our mind state towards God. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this as to what I said, as to while I was still in my own country. I did not want to do your will because that's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, but that's not enough to make me happy. Not if I want my will to be done, it's not. Slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. But with all that said, our brother Jonah, he still said this, and now, Lord, please take my life from me. Please kill me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And my friend, as to what our brother Jonah is saying, is he's expressing the hardship of our heart as to how when our will and the thing that me and you want to happen is not actually going on in this world, it doesn't matter how gracious the eternal God is. If our wills are not made one, if the will of Jesus Christ in the salvation of his people, me and you are going to even be angry at God and be discontent in our heart for the fact that he's having mercy upon other people instead of the people that I want him to save. This was what was happening as to with our brother Jonah. He wanted Israel to be saved, and he wanted for her enemies to be punished. But when God was having mercy upon somebody else, he could not find contentment and quietness inside of his own heart. And what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is that this is part of the curse that's come upon us. As the Bible says, my dear sister, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he hasn't taken away the pain, he hasn't taken away the bitterness, he has not taken away the curse that he has pronounced on this earth, and me and you are discontent and disquieted all of the time, and we need to find our hope, our trust, and our peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by trying to change his will because I don't have the things that I want. It is true, it's a measure. I'm to be responsible. I'm to pray, I'm to plead, I'm to ask God, I'm to walk with God. But when disappointment, when sickness, when death, when pain, when the things that discourage us, when things don't happen our way, that discouragement inside of our heart, it can only be fixed by bowing to the will of God as being more great and more glorious than anything I could ever want. And his wisdom is infinite, even if I'm poor. That his pain that he endured upon the cross was even greater than any of the sickness I can feel in this life, and I'll be healthy one day. That his promises are truly greater than all of my anguish. That the will of the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. It's not my condition that has to change, it's my attitude. Because he's never going to change his mind. And me and you are going to wish that we were dead if we think that we have to be the boss of our life instead of the goodness of God and the one who sits on the throne and the one who's worthy and the one who gives peace to all who submit unto his will. And he's going to make us bow if we're his children. And because he's going to bless us and take away every other pleasure and every other joy that me and you have constantly. I'm going to continually, even as Paul was in 2 Corinthians 4, be stripped of every confidence I have in this world until I can find no peace on planet Earth except in things that can never be seen in this world. He's going to make me and you happy on the inside by taking away all pleasure on the outside. And then we're going to put our trust in him who can never be seen except by faith. And then we'll see, like Jonah, that the redemption of our soul is precious. That to be involved in God's will as he saves his people is grand. But he has to bring us some bitterness in order to get our attention. And so the Lord, in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verse number 4, he asked, and he's so gracious that the Almighty God would condescend to speak to us, that he would not just obliterate us or just send us into hell just for questioning him. I have to remind us that, my friends, the angels only sinned once, and they were cursed with chains of darkness forever. Adam ate a piece of fruit and brought death on mankind. And yet God, who is so immaculately holy, is so gracious as to bear patiently and tenderly with sinners and to hear our cry as his children. The condescension of God is inexpressible. That he who has the power of God, almighty power in the Godhead, would actually listen unto our murmuring, our complaining hearts with compassion and pity. That he would actually deal patiently with me and you is a wonder of wonders. That he hasn't damned every one of us. Because this is God. He's not a small person. He's not feeble like the gods of this world that we have created. This is the infinite majesty of the Holy One. But he said, is it right for you to be angry, Heshimu, and to be discontent? Because you, of all people, don't have the things that you like in this world when you've got so much in your salvation. Just to be out of hell. But Jonah left of the city. He pouted. He sat down at the east of it. He's just like me and you. This is what's so heartbreaking. Is he made himself a shelter there and he sat in its shade. He didn't make that shade in order to comfort himself. To see what would happen unto the city if God would change his plans and would do what me and you want in this world. And then of the Lord God, verse 6, appointed a plant, a gourd. And it grew up to provide shade over Jonah's head to ease his comfort. It appears it was miraculous. To ease, as it says in the literal, to deliver him from his evil. What was hurting him? The agony of the curse. The fall of Adam and its consequences in this present life for a child of God who is miserable, who wants to die. And Jonah was greatly pleased with this plant. And when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm. He's in control of all of it. All of my pains, all of my losses. It's not the devil that's in charge of anything in this world. It comes from God. Have you considered my servant Job is what the devil heard from God? And when Jonah is resting in the comfort of this shady bush, it was God who appointed a worm that attacked the plant and it withered. What's happening here is he's taking away our peace. He's going to take it all away in this world. My friend, if you'll ever be saved, he's going to take all your peace. He's going to take away all your peace in your righteousness, in your goodness, in your churchiness. He's going to make you trust in Jesus Christ with everything that you've got. But not only that, as to what the scripture says, that's for the believing child of God. And I want to read you that from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As you know, it isn't only me talking, but these are the words of the Apostle Paul. As the Apostle Paul says, that therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed. Even though the curse is on the earth and I'm still in a body that's deteriorating, and I'm going through troubles and pain. And I just heard from one of my brethren that's over in Europe as to how he lost his business, his prosperity. He lost his health. He's in tremendous pain. Has to take morphine. He has a family to provide for. But he's holding on unto the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he's trying to sing, "It's well with my soul." And I pray for him and I mourn for him. But I know it's going to happen to all of us in some way or some measure all of my life. That our inner person is being renewed day by day, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen. I cannot focus on my troubles, on my trials, on the things I don't have, or on the happiness I don't have in this world, on the success I don't have. There are all kinds of people who have far less than I've got, but that means nothing if I'm focusing on what I don't have. But we're to focus on what is not seen. That's the gospel.
That's
the fact. He spared my soul from eternal damnation. Do you remember that Brother Jonah in chapter 2 was in the belly of the whale? and he compared it unto the belly of hell. And he pleaded with God, and he got no mercy to get out of that pit of the whale's belly until he confessed in the belly that he would be thankful unto God and he would praise and do the will of God in the future. That's the message. That's the lesson, isn't it? That in my sorrows, in my tears of my own unbelief and rebellion, I won't be happy until I say I will praise and thank God and obey him in his will. I'll do whatever he says, and I'll find my happiness there, and I'll be thankful to be included in salvation. I'll obtain mercy, and that will make me glad. That's what Paul is saying, that we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen, all of our present troubles, are the fact you have no wife, of the fact that you have no leg, of the fact that your children are sick and rebellious, the fact that your parents are dead, of the fact that you have no money, and the fact that your heart has been broken in this world by its cruelty, the fact that you find no pleasure in things that can be seen. That's all temporary. But what is unseen? The forgiveness of sins. The acceptance with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness that makes me and you able to stand in front of God at the day of judgment. To escape and to be spared from hell, where God will pour out his wrath forever. To be given everlasting life and everlasting bliss. And to be included in a purpose that will never end. Meaning that when me and you are in heaven, we shall look back on the things we did for God on earth and be thankful. To be included in God's eternal purpose. To be saved from our sins. And to be made the instruments, even from our sickbed, to pray for other people. One of the mightiest human beings I know, I have never met. But she prays and prays from the place where she was supposed to have been dead. And she bears witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And she cannot breathe except through an oxygen mask. And her power is felt right here in this moment. God's going to do his will. And he's going to make sure our will is not done. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, not my will. And that's what me and you have to set to. And if we do it, he will exalt us. Just like he exalted his only son, who did his will perfectly. For our salvation, if we believe on him. But as the sun, it was rising, it is God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun heat down so much on Jonah's head that he almost fainted, and like me and you, he wanted to die. I'm tired of being so unsuccessful. I'm tired of being so unhappy. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And then God, in his patient condescension, he asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Yes, replied Jonah, it is right. This is our rebellion being dealt with patiently because of the love of God that's in Christ, the indescribable condescension of his person to hear and plead with sinners, even his children. I'm angry enough to die. That's the bitterness of our heart. And so the Lord explains himself here as much as he will unto Jonah. And we don't see here that Brother Jonah was able to answer again. It would not have mattered, because this is the final verdict of God on this matter. And it's so gracious. It's the Lord said unto Jonah that you cared. These are what your priorities are, that you cared about the plant, and the things that me and you care about are just so small, our comfort, ourselves. I was walking at Hounder Street here just last night. It was 9 o'clock at night. And I was thinking, if I had a wife at home whom I loved, how I would not care about anybody else. I just go home and be happy. And that's exactly why I don't have one. Scripture says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask in order to consume it on your own lust. So whatever it is that you and I, we don't have, it's the best thing for us until he gives it. It's been many a man who's only made it into paradise because God kept him poor. And if he had let him get rich, he would have turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not many rich people enter into his kingdom. Not many mighty are called. I know that's contrary, but that's Bible. And I love preaching everywhere I go. But God said that you cared about the plant which you, Heshimu, you did not even labor over. It's not your invention or creation. It isn't your cleverness. It isn't your brilliance. It isn't the skillfulness of your hands. You haven't made anything happen in this world. You are not a self-made man. And you did not make it grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. It is so insignificant next to God's eternal purpose. But you're running around mad at God and wishing that you would die just because things haven't gone how you wanted them. And the preachers all around here are telling you, pay them money, and it'll go exactly as to how you want. And that's contrary to the Bible. They're lying unto your everlasting soul. And you know it. That man I talked to after that all-day church service, whose pockets had been emptied and he had to walk all the way back home, he knew that he had gone there month after month, year after year, and left just as poor as the day he came in. He knows he's being lied to. But he'd rather be lied to than hear the truth. That was his response toward me. We're a cursed people, except for the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is to see his goodness, is to see his wisdom, is to see his plan is better than my own plan. And his will, it ought to be done. And it will. He sits upon a throne of glory doing good, whether we see it or not. And he's not budging. He's God Almighty himself. utterly perfect in all that he does. And we will suffer, and we'll give him glory as we suffer, if we will ever praise his holy name. If we will ever be happy, truly happy, it'll be moment by moment as we're trusting Jesus Christ. It will not be if I get it my way. It'll be God's way. And I'll bow to the goodness of it. And I'll love God for who he truly is. Not because he does everything I want. He saved my soul from hell. And his purpose is to save sinners. And whether it's the ones I'm praying for or not, I'd love to see my mama saved. But glory be to God. No matter what he does, I'd love to see you saved. But glory be to God. If I only save one person my entire ministry, his will, he'd burn everything. Because he is great. He is glorious. He is mighty. He is unbudging. He is worthy. He is God. He is God. And there is no other. And there ought not be any other. And he has no rival. Nobody can touch him in wisdom. Or come close unto him in power and goodness. He is worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I love God. Can you say that with your soul? I can't even say it until he opens up my eyes that I can see it for myself. That he's good, and he's on the throne, and his will ought to be done, and it shall be. You see, Almighty God said, and it's my last verse, should I not care? I'm concerned about everything I want. But God says that should I not care about the great city of Nineveh? He's saying that our priorities must change, and we got to see things from his angle, which has more than 120,000 people who are so ignorant that they cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals. He's saying that the purpose of God in this world, right now, at this moment, is more important than anything that's happening in our life. It's more important than the end of poverty in Nigeria. It's more important than the end of homosexuality in San Francisco. It's more important than who's in political office. That the will of God in this world is pity and compassion towards sinners whom he has chosen, he would say. It's the goodness of God, whatever he's doing, right down unto the animals. That's what's happening in Nigeria, right this moment. The goodness of God. If you ever see life like that, young man, you'll be happy. And you'll find peace. I was talking to a couple of men. I had two pieces of paper. I was talking to a young boy, and I asked him, this one has courage, this one has peace. Which one do you want? If you want peace with God, you'll have to trust in Christ. If you want courage in the face of all your fears and tears, you and I were going to have to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you feel like poor me, if you feel like I'm not happy, if you feel like I don't like how things are going, I don't like my situation, and I'm not going to be happy until I get X, Y, and Z. If that's how you feel, or you need to change your mind and repent. And you need to become happy with what pleases God. And at the day of judgment, He will exalt you, even as He did our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to suffer and die. He had to bear the cross, the sin and the shame. He had to keep His mouth quiet while He died for sinners on behalf of God's mercy and justice. He had to die a substitute and complain not. He couldn't even sin from His heart. He could not from one moment curse God on the inside of His being. He had to honor God immaculately and perfectly. And He did it, and God exalted Him. And He's on the throne. And He's going to exalt me and you, my dear friend, if you're listening and you believe upon Him. As we do His will in this world, as we bow unto Him, His circumstances, His curse in this earth, His tears He gives us, His taking away, as we bow unto the Lord Jesus Christ, He will comfort us with the comfort that makes us able to comfort other people. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's the only way. That's why Brother Jonah does not speak again, because God has said what He has to say, and we have to get in as to where we fit in to His purpose and His will, because He's not changing, because He's God, He's good, He's perfect, and He sits on the throne. He made this world. And He gives comfort and He takes it away as He sees fit to accomplish His eternal plan. And we have exactly what we need at this moment if we trust in Jesus Christ. So I ask you to come to Christ. If I can be of any help, my sister, I have a piece of paper here with a message. It has my telephone, my WhatsApp. Please contact me. I'll be of help if I can. I'll be living here for a few more weeks, it seems, before I move elsewhere into Yaba. But I wanted to preach this gospel up the street. Yes, I have a place, and they had a party, and the music was loud, and so I ended up here preaching the gospel unto you. But it's true things I'm telling you. I have not lied unto you. I have not made you any false promises, but I promised you a true way of peace and overcoming sin, and bowing down to God is it in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to die is what Brother Jonah said. But now when I see Christ, I want to live for His glory. Amen. How about you? How about you?
All glory unto God, Mina. And the Lord bless you, everybody else in this gospel. We got to bow unto our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not changing, and He ought to never change. He's perfect. And whatever He does in this world and with us is right. And if we bow to Him, it'll be peace. If we do His will, it'll be peace. It'll be power over sin. It'll be the ability to rejoice. And the Lord bless you for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.